I just have one question. But as you're fully aware, some questions are better than others. So men, if you go home today at noon and you ask your wife, now, when is our anniversary again? I'll set a place for you at our dinner table because I suspect you won't be eating well today. If you approach someone and you say, are you going to remain single forever? Probably not a really good question, nor is it a good question to say, are y'all ever going to have a baby? That's probably not very good either. This morning, we're going to be introduced to a priest by the name of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now, Luke is known to give significant historical details to place everything in its proper context. So he tells us that Zechariah served as a priest during the time period of Herod. This is breaking prophetic silence that has gone on for a long period of time since the close of the Old Testament record. Zechariah had the distinct privilege of serving at the temple, to burn incense in the temple, as was a part of their worship experience at that time in Jerusalem. For a priest like Zechariah, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences. But Zechariah has an unanticipated experience. It was by no means a normal day at the temple for Zechariah. While he's in the process of burning incense and doing his priestly duties at the temple, he is approached by an angel. And this angel conveys to Zechariah that despite the fact that you are older, as well as your wife, Elizabeth, despite the fact that y'all are older and well advanced in years and beyond childbearing years, you are going to have a child. It was a source of shame in Jewish culture to not to be able to bear children. It was something that Elizabeth and Zechariah had prayed about for a long, long time. But the truth is, God's power is well beyond the scope of human comprehension. And so therefore, Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer was going to be answered, but it was going to be answered in a way that they could have possibly never anticipated. So this angel approaches Zechariah, and in essence, what Zechariah says is, I just have one question, just one. And Zechariah's one question is this. In Luke chapter 1, verse 18, he asks the angel, in regard to this whole idea of having a child, how can I be sure of this? And I do believe that was the tone that Zechariah used. How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. I think if you attended one of Trey and Lee's marriage seminars, what they would say to you is, it's never a good idea to say that your wife is well advanced in years. I just want to go on and note that. Now, to Zechariah's credit, he didn't say she was old. He said he was old and she was well advanced in years, but I don't recommend either one. I don't think that's a very good idea at all. That's Zechariah's question as this angel presents him such unexpected, unanticipated news and a very unexpected answer to both he and Elizabeth's prayer that no doubt they had expressed to God for a long, long time. I think we should pause this morning and think for a few moments about Zechariah's one question. It's the only question he asked the angel, because a few observations are significant this morning. The first one is, I think we can safely assume that in his voice, there was a tone of doubt in his voice. I think when he asked this angel, how's this going to happen? I think he's like, I don't believe this. It had a tone about it. Tone is significant. And again, that is an assumption on our part, but I believe it's a very safe assumption that his tone of voice definitely conveyed doubt. And secondly, he knew better. Did y'all ever hear that growing up as you got a little older? You know better? My mother in her deep southern drawl would look at me and say, you know better. You knew better than that. Zechariah's already confessed he's an old man. He knows better. He knows better because he is a mature man of God. He is a priest serving before God. He knew of the miraculous birth of Isaac, and I'm talking about Isaac in the Old Testament, Isaac who was born to Abraham and Sarah. He was fully aware of the miraculous nature of that birth. They were also old and well advanced in years. And secondly, we know from what Luke tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, that both he and Elizabeth walked blamelessly. They were righteous people. He was a person of faith, and Elizabeth was a person of faith as well. He's a mature man, and furthermore, he is a mature man of faith. Interesting quote here from Kent Hughes, and here's what he says. His penalty, and I'm not sure I would use the term penalty, I think I would use the term discipline. His penalty for unbelief was well fitted to the offense, for Zechariah's tongue, which had uttered in unbelief, was struck speechless. The aged priest would have months, plenty of time to reflect on the situation. In fact, the text tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 18, the angel answered him. He answered his one question. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, which will be fulfilled in their time. This past fall, I taught a class on Wednesday night on solitude and the inherent value of solitude. And so as I think about the inherent value of solitude, maybe it wasn't such a bad thing that Zechariah had a period of approximately 9 months to reflect on this experience and to reflect on the integrity of his faith and to reflect on the very power of God. And there's nothing like reflecting during a time of solitude. I don't know about you. I have a hard time being quiet for 5 minutes, much less 9 months. And so to have this long period just to be quiet and your thoughts to yourself and you are unable to speak. We are introduced to a second individual also in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we're introduced to Mary. And Mary also has an experience with an angel. And an angel comes to her and tells her that she is going to be with child. But at this point, she's unmarried. Now, she is betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothal was far more binding in terms of what we would contrast with what we would call engagement today. And I'm not really sure in our culture what engagement means anymore. It means a lot of things, but it's very much a subjective experience that's really not clearly defined. In contrast, betrothal was very well defined. It was legally binding as being married, except to the exception the marriage had not been consummated. So she was betrothed to David, and that's why in Matthew's gospel account, Joseph was going to divorce her quietly when he found out that she was a child, because he automatically assumed that she had been with another man. But this angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to be with a child. You've never been with a man. You're betrothed to Joseph. And you're going to be with a child. Can you imagine being a young woman? And we don't know exactly how old Mary was. It's possible she was as young as 14 years old. She's not old and mature like Zechariah. She's a very young woman. And her life is literally going to be turned upside down when the angel tells her she's going to be with child. And she has just one question as well. And here's Mary's question in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? How am I going to be with child? How will this be? And again, as we make a few observations about Mary, I think we look at her and we consider her character. Humble, reflective Mary thought about it and understood. When I say understood, I think an appropriate term would be she embraced this news. She was humble, and she reflected on this news that this angel had presented to her. And her question was just logical. It wasn't that there was any hint of disbelief about her at all. She was simply asking for enlightenment. I would also use the term confirmation. Could you just enlighten me? Could you give me a little confirmation? It's not that I don't believe this can happen, but I would sure like to be enlightened as to how it's going to happen. And so Mary's question, in a sense, was biological in nature. God, how are you going to do this? It's just a basic biology question. How are you going to do this? I don't doubt it at all, but could you fill me in with some at least brief details? And once again, we can't help but assume that tone of voice must have been significant, that as she asked the how, it's not a doubt, it's just a matter of enlightenment, it's a matter of confirmation. I think we should pause at this point. And as we think about the miraculous birth of John the Baptist, and as we reflect on the miraculous nature of the birth of Jesus as well, the central message that Luke is getting across in his opening chapter of his gospel is, it is all about the power of God. And as we reflect on the very power of God, his power defies all human reason. You can't reason through these things. Biologically speaking, you can't reason through Mary being with child. It defies human reason. My oldest sister is deceased now. She was a longtime scientist. She worked at a medical school at the University of Rochester in New York. For over 20 years, she researched post-traumatic stress disorder in veterans as a scientist. Had a grant from the Air Force and traveled all over the country meeting with Air Force officials and did a lot of really significant scientific research. And I remember one of the things she said not long before her death. She said, "You can't be a legitimate scientist and not believe in God." And I think she would also be quick to say that God's power defies all human reason. You can't possibly explain it because his power is well beyond the scope of all human comprehension because he is God and we are not. We are finite, frail human beings, and we can't possibly comprehend his power and how he's going to choose to exhibit his power. His power is beyond the scope of human explanation. Well, I have, with that, all those things in mind, I just have one question for us. And it's not one of those ridiculous questions like, "Honey, when is our anniversary?" It's a significant question. And I think it's a question that we should ask as we read a text like Luke chapter 1. The question is, are you ready for the truth that Paul states in Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. I believe this is one of the most succinct, clear passages in Scripture that communicates very clearly the essence of God's power. And it's one of those passages, if you're wondering, you're struggling with your faith and you're wondering, where is God? And how is he working? Or maybe you're even asked the question, is he working in my life? You go to this passage. And it's even composed in the form of a prayer. And here's what he says. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God's power is beyond the scope of anything that we could possibly think or imagine in our wildest dreams. The message is always a little fun to look at. You got to look at the message and see what the message says. And I realize it's a rather unique work. But in the message in verse 20, he says, God can do anything, you know. And I like that. That has a little bit of a cornbread feel to it. And I'm pretty cornbread and pretty redneck myself, so that has a little bit of a cornbread feel to it. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. That is really well stated. So, God can do anything, you know. I do believe we need periodic reminders of such a reality. So to pause today and think, how does that impact your prayers? If God can do anything, you know, if God can see to it that Mary is with child and yet it defies biology, he can do anything. And if John the Baptist is going to be born of Elizabeth and Zechariah when Elizabeth is well advanced in years and Zechariah is just plain old, then he can do anything, you know. I'm wondering this morning, as we end another year, about to start a new one just here in a couple of weeks, are you willing to pray something that's ridiculous? It has a ridiculous feel to it. And furthermore, are you willing to pray about things or on behalf of a person where you've given up? And I'm ashamed to say, I look at situations in my own life and I look at people that I've known for a long time, and at some level I think I've just kind of waved a white flag and given up. I want to encourage you, as we acknowledge this morning that God can do anything, you know, to pray for that person or pray for that situation where you have very quietly and subtly at some point given up. Let's pray something that sounds and feels just totally ridiculous. What about opportunities? Every morning before we come up here, I sit on those steps right out there bright and early before chapel. And I pray that when we come to chapel at 8:35, I pray for a student. Can I touch some student's heart today? I pray for that opportunity. Or maybe it's a faculty member. Maybe a faculty member needs just a kind word or something encouraging, or maybe a good shove. But to pray for opportunities. I pray for opportunities at really weird times, and God answers in really interesting ways. When I fly, you think, yeah, you know, Southwest Airlines, you can sit where you want to. And, you know, I kind of have my particular places I like to sit, and I like to be on the aisle because I like to watch what's going on. But before I get on a plane, without exception, I always pray for opportunities. I'm going to sit by somebody, and most likely they're going to be a stranger, and I pray for that brief interaction on that flight. And there's two really interesting situations that I've experienced that really stand out. I'll just share one of them this morning. I had gone back to Wisconsin for a school reunion, flying from Milwaukee to St. Louis, and then St. Louis on to Dallas. And on that first leg of that flight to St. Louis, I sat next to this lady, probably mid to late 30s, and she started talking to me and visiting, and she said, I can't remember how the conversation turned here, but she said she and her husband and her children were getting ready to move. They were from the St. Louis area. And so I just said, well, are you excited? Are you excited about the move? She said, oh, we really are. And I said, well, why are you excited? She said, well, It's a new job opportunity, but she said of greater importance, we're going to get to go to a new church. Now, she has no idea who she's talking to. And I said, really? Well, why are you excited about going to a new church? And she kind of settled in and sighed, and she said, well, I've been going to my in-laws' church for the last however many years, and she said, it's not been a great experience. She said, you know what? They think they're the only ones going to heaven. Is that right? Really? Who would that be? She said, the Church of Christ. And I said, really? She said, are you familiar with him? And I only said, I am. That's all I said. That's truthful, isn't it? I said, I am. And so she proceeded to unload all barrels. And she told me everything about their experience at this church. And I just continued to listen and ask confirming questions. And finally, she said, I'm so sorry. I have dominated this conversation. She said, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, what do you do for a living? This is when it gets fun. I had a business card in my pocket. It says, preaching minister at Granbury Church of Christ. I just handed her my card. And she looked at my car and she died laughing and she said, I am so busted. And I said, you really are. But you know what? The conversation at that point took a major shift. And I had the opportunity to speak. And she gave me the privilege of listening. And we had a very meaningful conversation until we landed in St. Louis about important spiritual things and what's really important and what is the nature of the authority of Scripture and who is God and how is He working in our lives. God can do anything, you know. And as she got off that plane in St. Louis, I smiled to myself and I thought, God is good. God answers prayers. God answers prayers even on planes from Milwaukee to St. Louis. So I want to ask you this morning this question. What about opportunities and how are you praying for such opportunities? What about things you're doing right now? Not something that's going to come later. What about something that you may view as being very routine? Things you do every day at work or things that you do every day where you live in your neighborhood. What about the things you're doing right now? How can God do anything, you know, in the context of such everyday things? And I'm curious this morning, when you just have one question, what will you ask? A few moments ago, we noted the ridiculous. So given that opportunity, Zechariah was given that opportunity. He had just one question. What will you ask? And what will your tone of voice be as well? Will it be a question that reflects doubt? Or in contrast between Zechariah and Mary, will it be a question that asks for enlightenment or confirmation, if you will? Luke chapter 1, verse 38. I believe this may be one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Mary simply says, behold, and when all is said and done, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Regardless of what you say to me, regardless of what news you present me with, regardless of what I'm going to experience, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a powerful statement. Are we willing to make such a statement in addition to posing questions? Are we willing to just assume that mentality? Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. So a reminder this morning, I think at least for the vast majority, you are a servant of the Lord too. And may it be to you according to His word. Matt's going to come up and lead us an invitation song. And I think sometimes we rush the invitation. Do y'all think so? Do y'all think sometimes we just kind of rush into the invitation? Let's not rush it. We need a unique invitation this morning, because this is a very unique passage in Luke chapter 1. So I think a unique passage calls for a unique invitation. And the first question I would pose in regard to unique invitation, are you really? Are you a servant of the Lord? And you may be in a position where you've been on the fence, trying to make the determination, am I really ready to fully commit myself to Jesus Christ? That I do want to say, yes, He is Lord. I firmly believe that He is the Son of God, born of the Virgin, as Luke will relate the details a little bit later in his gospel. But you're on the fence. You are certain you need to confess His Lordship, completely change your life, and be immersed in the waters of baptism, that all your sins would be washed away. But you're sitting there not sure if you're quite ready. I tell you what, I've been there. I've been there in this room as a 20-year-old on the fence trying to make that decision. So I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll eagerly play hooky from Bible class this morning, and we'll go downstairs and we'll baptize you. When we get done, we'll go find a Bible class. We're going to have a donut or two or three. But we'll go down and we'll do that this morning. I don't know why you would want to postpone that commitment. I'm speaking from experience. Get off the fence. Let's do it today. Let's go downstairs. The baptistry is warm and it's ready. Secondly, how are you responding to God at this moment? As opportunities are arising, as things are unfolding in your life, how are you responding to God at this moment? And as you anticipate a new year, again, it's going to happen in just a couple of weeks, have you even thought about how you respond to Him during the course of 2025? And if you were to pose just one question, what would it be? I'm curious this morning what your question would be. All to Jesus I surrender. Let us all surrender and surrender completely to Him as we stand and sing our invitation song this morning.